Jingle bells! It's Christmas and our award show is finally here. Let's see who are the winners and who are the losers.
Hello and welcome to the season of celebration and festivity. As you can see behind us, the lights are on and the tree is up. Ready for Christmas, are you?
I say my lights, one
yes,
of my
yes,
trees.
So I don't do Christmas.
You don't do Christmas trees no. or lights or any fun or festivities. That's probably the jolliest you're going to be all season, is that
yes,
intro?
Yes, yeah. Another year has come to the end in BTCC and we're of course here to hand out plenty of awards. But first of all, how are you? How have you been?
Yeah, I'm all right. The Christmas day is fast approaching. We are having lots to get through, obviously, both pod-wise and life-wise. But yeah, we're rocking towards Christmas and we're getting closer to the big day. And you've delivered on your promise. We're going to do this before Christmas. You promised we would. Yeah. And here we are. So, well done.
Yeah, there's plenty of speculation going around at the moment. And we've done a couple of update podcasts to keep you, as you say, up to date with everything that has gone on so far. There have been some driver announcements since then, which we will wrap up into the new year and take you through everything that's happened in December. But until then, we're going to get on with some awards.
Yep, there are many awards on offer today. And if you're not already, please do subscribe, get the notification bell on, and find all of our social media channels by searching British Touring Car Podcast. We've got Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Remember
TikTok.
Those three? TikTok, those weren't forgetting. And of course, we're on, as you've probably worked out by now, Spotify. Another good year on that. We'll touch that on the end. YouTube, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, as it's known, CastBox, yep. And some other places we don't even upload to, but we are there. So, yeah, there's no excuse for not finding us on one of these platforms.
Yeah, so the first award of tonight is going to be for the livery of the season. Now, with these awards, all of these awards, we actually, one rainy night, we went through them and decided what categories we were going to bring up. And we believe these are going to be the best contenders for these categories. And then we came to a fairly mutual decision on all of them, actually, didn't we, for the outright winner.
Yeah, I think it was actually harder to choose four in some cases than
it was
to choose
yes.
a winner. So yeah. There are four per category apart from one, which is three for reasons we'll get to. We have done this amicably. We'll have a quick chat about the people that or the things we have put forward, and then we'll give out the winner.
Yeah, so as I said, livery of the season is the first one up. We picked two each here. So we have, first of all, LKQ Eurocar Parts Toyota, the black, grey and yellow machine. Second up, we have Daryl DeLeon's Leon Cupra, in the Duckham's Oils, which was a really, obviously, last-minute entry to the championship, but came out with a stunning livery. And then we had Chris Smiley's Restart Racing Cupra in the black, red and blue, and also the title winner Laser Tools BMW from Jake Hill.
But will it be our title winner for livery of the season? No, it won't. We've gone for the if you like racing and you love good liveries, it was always going to be DeLeon's Duckham's Leon Cupra. It's just the best shade of blue and yellow to get.
It just works so clean as well.
Yeah. And you do like a clean livery.
It took everyone by surprise when it came out because there were no mentions of it, no rumours or anything of the sponsorship that was going to be on his car. Obviously, we were at the start of the season wondering whether he was going to be on the grid, what sort of setup they were going to have, because they look really threadbare and only managed to get, a couple of laps in testing. And then they came out with that and they were like, wow.
Yeah, it's
fair
a
play.
Big statement, big livery, and be interested to see where it is next year. Will it be on a BMW or will it be still at Unlimited Motorsport?
We shall see.
Okay, moving on, we've got weekend of the season. So this is the weekend that provided some amazing action. We'll go down in the annuals of British Touring Cars as one to remember. Four categories again. First of all, we've got Donington Round 2, or not Round 2, but Visit Number 2, sorry.
GP layout.
That would have been the better way of saying it. Yeah. That played a pivotal role in the title decider.
Certainly did.
We have the title decider itself at Brands Hatch, which did ebb and flow throughout the weekend, let's not forget. Controversially, Thruxton was pretty good this year, I thought. And I think it's only fair to give flowers where you normally give.
What was more surprising is that you put that one forward.
It was a really solid weekend of good, hard, fast racing this weekend. And then finally, Snetterton, which had a monsoon at points, a dry track
the
at other points.
The weather was absolutely mental that weekend.
It was indeed.
And the difference of tyre choices that we had throughout the weekend. People weirdly going on to starting a race on wets because they didn't want to be on a hard tyre. And
And of course, we saw the lesser spotted purple monster dinosaur, Barnaby.
Barney
car from Bobby Thompson, which just puts the purple cherry.
Yeah, unfortunately,
on that cake.
The only time this season.
It
but
was
will we
spotted.
See it back for 2025? So the winner was Donington GP Circuit, the penultimate round of the season. It was a mega weekend.
Silverstone's penultimate round.
I beg your pardon, yes. Third to last round of the season. it was a mega weekend where there was lots of goings on, including that major stone through Ingram's radiator and that massive fight back that he had in race three. A weekend that, as you say, ebbed and flowed, but really had the highs and the lows. I think the team got the engine changed over, or the front subframe changed over in about an hour and a half, managed to get him back out. He, at that point, thought it was possibly title over. But his team did a fantastic job.
I must admit, it's not a weekend I remember that well because I was on a cruise ship at the time.
Yes, you were.
Watching it on TikTok, yes. On the high seas. But yeah, it was certainly one to remember. And as you say, it did shape the championship. And I must admit, when Ingram fought back through following the stone incident, I thought that was a sign that he was going to become the champion,
yeah.
Because it was what you would call a champion's drive to enter the world of cliches. But of course, it didn't go that way in
no.
the end. But it did set up an interesting penultimate round at Silverstone, the final round at Brands Hatch.
It was also the weekend that the Toka Junior car, was announced for next season, which we'll be doing hopefully an update on going ahead into 2025 and seeing what drivers and what teams are going to be competing in it going forward. Moving on then, and this is our first three category.
First and only.
Three category award of the night, and that is rookie of the season. We only had three rookies attend the grid this year.
Yeah, I argued Halstead still counts as a rookie, but you did point out he has had a full season.
He has had a full season.
He's not really
yeah.
a rookie.
So the contenders this year were Dan Zelos, who joined us for the final three rounds of the season, completing all nine races. Daryl De Leon in his first full season behind the wheel of a touring car. And the third contender is Scott Sumpton. His first season in the Restart Racing crew had moved over from, of course, TCR. But the winner of this one was fairly comprehensive,
yeah,
wasn't it?
The DeLion has had a really good season.
Yes.
I think we're going to see a lot more from him, especially next year, where he's going to be back on the grid with BMW. But Dan Zelos came in with three rounds to go and did not disappoint in any of those rounds. Scored points in all, but...
Score points in
all of them.
Yeah.
And actually, at some points, you might have felt could have maybe had a podium at Silverstone in the rain as well. But look, he came in and really impressed and showed why he belongs on the touring car grid. And hopefully we'll see him back for next season.
Yeah, he did kind of show up Pearson's form throughout the rest of the season. And I think it was the right decision for Accelerate to make at that time. And as you say, I think it would be amazing if he's not even near the grid next season. But we shall see. Nothing has been announced as of yet.
Right, next up we have car of the season. So this isn't livery. This is the car that we felt was the best throughout the season.
Yep.
So we've got BMW, obviously did take the Drivers' Championship. And this year they managed to work out, or Hill did at least, how to drive it in the wet conditions. The Hyundai from Accelerate, that engine is one of the best I've seen in a long time in touring cars. And its turning ability is sublime, only perhaps slightly let down by some poor wet weather setups this year.
And a little bit of reliability issues, especially in the other cars.
Yeah, Toyota, who expanded to a four-car team, they got a couple of wins and podiums along the way, and at times looked really good. And then finally, the Vauxhall Astra from the PMR team, which...
The car we all thought was past it.
Yeah, it just won't go. It just won't... It's like a... It just won't
Not
leave.
Going to die.
Yeah, it's still about... It's on the grid, and it had a really good season. So... Who is our car of the season?
And our car of the season is Team BMW with that BMW 3 Series to bounce back from how poor they were, I would say, in 2023.
Roundly beaten, shall we say.
Yes. Compared to how dominant, obviously, the Ford was. They come back and they've hit the ground running this year and they did everything that they needed to. I think only missing out on the team's championship. They won the manufacturers, they won the drivers. Those are the two big ones you're looking at when you're looking at what car is the best of the season.
Absolutely.
So I think it rightly deserves that award.
Although I will just put out a really close second, I think, to the Vauxhall, because what PMR are achieving there with that car is unbelievable. And they were comfortably in the top 10 throughout the season and qualifying. They were good on the Saturday and the Sunday. So it was close, but the BMWs... Normally the Achilles heel of the wet weather, arguably won Hill the title this year, because every time the rain fell, Hill performed.
Yeah,
that's really crucial to, I think, the why
it seems to be a very narrow window of conditions that the BMW now doesn't go well in.
With Hill in particular.
Yes, yeah. But in the dry, in the soaking wet, it seems absolutely fine now.
Absolutely.
And they'll be looking to take that forward into 2025. And they've already announced that they will be keeping the 3 Series for that one.
Yes, yeah.
Moving on to then the drive of the season. Now, this is the individual race, pretty much down to racer as well, where they've come through the field, possibly had that outstanding drive that you instantly remember when you go, oh, what was the 2024 season about? Yeah, it was one of these drives that makes you go, that was it. So the first one up is Ash Sutton for his drive-through penalty at Silverstone, so then coming all the way back through the field to grab points.
A drive that wasn't his fault, by the way.
No.
His team being late on the grid.
Yeah, it was.
And at a very short circuit like Silverstone as well.
It was a slam dunk as well. There wasn't really any getting around it. And he just had to make the most of that situation. There was Ingram, the stone in the radiator, slides and seconds at Donington. An incredible drive back through the field. He really had the grit between his teeth.
The grit between his teeth?
Yeah. And was going for it. And Sutton and Ingram recovering at Snetterton. Both of them had a really poor race one, was it? Or race
rain,
two?
The rain completely messed them up.
Race
two.
And then they came back through the field together and they were just up on an absolute charge. And also Hill winning by, you've put here, 5 years at Snetterton. It was a lengthy victory, wasn't it?
I think it's probably the biggest I've seen in touring cars.
Yeah.
He won that by a country mile.
Very
impressive.
When we normally talk about touring cars, we talk maybe a second or two separating the top 3-4 drivers maybe across the line. And he was a good 15-20 seconds down the road, and he
might
was
more
just
than that.
Unbeatable.
Yeah, it might
that
be
weekend.
I should have probably looked it up before we did the record, really. But he was a very, very long way. And I now can't scroll down enough.
You don't have to worry too much, though, because it wasn't the one that won the award. It was Ingram at Donington. Obviously, having that stone through the radiator in the second race there. And then coming through, fighting through the pack. And he was just almighty. I don't know whether it's because the car had a fresh engine and it was absolutely on song, or whether it was just because he was almost driving angry.
I think this was the award that was the hardest to decide, because I'm still not fully on board of it, but I'm on board enough to we can actually have an answer and not argue forevermore. But yeah, all four of those would have been worthy winners in my view.
Do let us know what you think your drive of the season is as well, because this is a very subjective award.
Very much so.
Because there are people that support different drivers, think that different drivers have had better and worse races over the season.
Yeah, and if you support BMW, you have to hate Ash Sutton by rules. The drive doesn't weigh. You can't ever say it's anything good. You can't. No.
But yeah, do let us know.
Okay, moving on. We've now got team of the season. So this is the team that performed, in our view, the best. And we've also factored into this a little bit of a wider view of what was expected, what did they achieve, and how far above their weight have they punched. So the four we've got here are Laser Tools Racing, which obviously won the Drivers' Championship and performed pretty well in the teams as well, to be fair to them. WSR, as you said, double with the winner and the Manufacturers Award. PMR, who won the Independent Drivers and Teams Championship, and I think won all but one race in the Independent Drivers
pretty
Championship.
Much, yeah.
And then I think it's important we do give a little bit of shout out to Restart Racing. It's never easy to bring a new team to the touring car grid. We don't see many new teams come to the touring car grid, if we're being honest with you. And we see lots of teams you think are going to be there forever fall away. It's a really difficult business to be in and sustain yourself in. And actually, I don't think Restart Racing let themselves down at all this year. They had a fairly reliable car and they had some pretty good results, particularly with Smiley, which is to be expected, a bit more of an experienced touring car driver than Scott Sumpton. But yeah, I think it's important we also recognise when teams do come to the grid and aren't so far off the pace. So
yeah, I mean, their expectations for this season going into it, I think, were of themselves fairly realistic on the low side. They're wanting to just make sure they get as many races completed as possible. They're obviously in what's known to be a possibly difficult car, being in that Cupra for that season. And they're coming into an unknown, really, that many of the teams now, because of how the regulations are, have been here for a while, know how they run things, know how they get round things. But yeah.
Yeah. So, are you going to announce the winner?
Quite rightly, PMR have won this award because the season that they've had compared to what we still expect of the Astra was immense. It's almost unrivaled in the age of the car compared to the ability of the of what we thought it was able to do and what it's actually done.
It's also given new lease of life to Aaron Taylor Smith, who, yes, who was driving the best I think I've ever seen him drive. And yeah. I don't think he'd argue that if you were to put that to him either.
We were also worried about them going down to a two-car yes. driver lineup this season, but I actually think it's almost focused the mind. Yeah. It's meant that they've had better reliability.
And I suppose we should point out as well, actually, Dobble won the Jack... We've missed him out. Dobble won the yeah. Jack Sears in this as well. So they've taken
convincingly
home.
As yes. well. In a, almost unchallenged.
In a pretty... Well, you wouldn't necessarily say strong, necessarily, but...
Competitive.
Yeah, competitive. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily have expected him to win it at the start of the season, necessarily.
No.
Particularly when you think he had Pearson for although, most of the season and Osborne.
He did only just miss out on it last year to yeah. his teammate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right, you're doing this next one. Yeah. Three smiles for the graphics I've created. The social media marketing guy, Guru Russell, over here.
Moving on to the surprise of the season. And this, there's a couple of different remits for this, I think. Basically, what we were least expecting at the start of the season that has actually come to fruition by the end of it. So first up, we've got Aaron Taylor-Smith being as good as Aaron Taylor-Smith has been this season.
He's dominating the independents.
Yeah. Dominating that. Finished seventh in the championship behind that top six that you'd probably expect to be there every year. And just, yeah, he just, as you said, he seems to be on song at the moment and in a sweet spot of his career.
Absolutely.
Second one up is how poor Napa have been.
Relative to last season.
Relative to last season, yes. They were so dominant last time out, and even the drivers were admitting that the car's just not quite there this season.
Just dropped off.
We've seen, or we saw, poorer performances from Rowbottom. He had some really poor weekends and terrible luck sometimes, but also reliability issues for the team.
Yeah.
Although Kamish popped home with a win this season, yes, Sutton had a good run at the start of the season in the car, but it was nowhere near as dominant as it was last year.
And then it's the other mistakes of the drivers, the mechanics sort of being late off the grid, the yeah. rear wings that just kept popping off. I mean,
yeah,
yeah. I don't know if they maybe got a bit complacent over the summer. I don't think so, or no. other teams up their game, but the drop-off of this was quite incredible, I think.
Yeah, C is the up and down season that Toyota have had. Now, between the four cars, there seems to be one car from each team that have had a decent season, taken wins along the way. And then on the other side, there have seemed to be some poorer performances, some slower race weekends, shall we say. Something we don't expect from Toyota as a whole.
No, it's been really hard to work them out this year. They've been, you know, they're mean. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe not so good for any of the businesses. But yeah, it's been really difficult to work out if they're any good or not. And that's been, the mixed fortunes has made it really difficult, I think, for the drivers as well.
Yeah, and the final nomination is hybrid.
It worked.
Hybrid works.
It worked really well.
And now we're getting rid of it.
We've proved all we need to prove. That's it. Done. We're now going to focus on something that no one else has ever managed to do. But yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that another day.
I can't believe how well hybrid has worked this season.
It's been brilliant this year. I can't argue it.
And the way it's been implemented, I think, has just been spot on for what it needed to be, considering how it's been over the last couple of seasons.
The only downside to it, and there is still a downside to it, is that we now have to hear 17 times the race, he's on the hybrid!
Well, we don't next season. It's done.
We had to listen to 17 times the race.
Yeah.
He's on the hybrid. Was that a hybrid pass? I think it was. There we go.
And the award,
they were changed it.
Unfortunately, probably they don't want this award.
The award, nobody wants to win, necessarily.
But yeah, it goes to Napa, just yeah. for that drop-off that we've seen from them. I think they're going to come back strong next season.
Absolutely. And they still had a drive.
And they were
fight.
Still competitive.
Yeah, but it was just how... And they're never going to dominate the way they did this year, the way they did last year. But the car was just not very good for most of the season, just quite slow.
We've almost seen, like, Red Bull, Napa...
Yeah.
Same sort of thing happening.
Yeah. I mean, other teams would have caught up because yeah. they would have taken Definitely. That last year and gone, we really need to step up our game. But equally, it's the other stuff. It's the drivers, sorry, mechanics leaving the grid late. It's the, I think they've had a couple of false starts, wrong tyre calls. Yeah. It's the rear wings that took so long for them to really fix it, you know, and see a solution for, and it cost them. So, yeah.
Yeah, so final actual award of the night, and that is, of course, driver of the season.
Yeah, so we have four. We whittled these down fairly easily, I think. We've gone for Jake Hill, stay tuned. Tom Ingram, who obviously finished second and really took the fight to Hill throughout the season. Aaron Taylor-Smith, who, as we just discussed, I think is driving in the form of his life and doing absolute wonderful work in that Vauxhall. And also Ash Sutton, who, despite the woes at Napa, as we've already discussed, is still always there or thereabouts.
He was still in the title fight pretty close to the end, wasn't he?
He was indeed. But, Sam, there could only be one winner, and it was going to be fairly obvious, wasn't it?
Of course, it was Aaron. I mean, it was Jake Hill. What a season he has had, taking his maiden touring car championship. There were some weekends where he was just simply unbeatable, and the pace that he managed to extract from that car was ridiculous at times. There was a good period of like 3-4 weekends in a row where you just thought, no one's going to touch him.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, the fact that he's got the wet conditions nailed down, because in previous years, if you're fighting a BMW and it started to rain, you'd be going,
yeah, you're doing a rain dance in the pits.
Excellent news. Yep. But actually, this year, Hill in particular has got the car in a really good spot for the wet in both qualifying and race. And to be honest with you, apart from Brands Hatch, where the steering wheel broke on him and he made perhaps a couple of aggressive moves in the start of the race, he didn't really put a foot wrong this year. He locked up once at Alton Park. This is the thing, I'm really now just struggling to think of the occasional lock-up, which can happen to anybody and does, and also in the BMW cold tyres and all that kind of stuff, that happens more often.
But he didn't win the Wingfoot Award. He didn't win the Wingfoot Award. I think he'll be gutted about.
Yeah.
Oh, but another BMW Turkington. Won it.
Should have gone to Turkington. But no, I think, Hill this year, he's scarcely put a foot wrong. His overtaking has got a lot better. Croft was a bit of a disappointing weekend for him, but not necessarily his... Well, there's no necessary about it. It wasn't his fault. I'm sure it happened. So, yeah, before we might have said that Hill's driving had been littered with mistakes at times, but actually this year when the pressure was on,
it's going to be really interesting to see how he deals with the pressure of now defending a title going into next season. Obviously, we're hoping that BMW will give him the car that he needs to try and do the best he can, but there will all, of course, be other challenges coming along next season.
He will have a teammate for next year as well, which is interesting.
He will, yes. Please do let us know who you would have chosen for all the categories that we have covered today. We do love hearing from you, your thoughts, and in the building up to the next season, we'll be taking on ideas regarding new videos, podcasts. Keep an eye on the channel, see what's coming out, drop us a message on social media. We love reading them all, and we love to take on new ideas.
Yeah, and it's just worth pointing out that we have had an idea put to us this week, which we are very happy to take forward. So it does... Your views do count, they do matter. Whilst we can't necessarily do everything that people put forward, not least because we don't know anything about the 1970 touring cars, there's very little to actually educate ourselves on it. But if you've got something you want to see, there's no harm in asking, put it that way. And we do take your views firmly on board as we create and plan our content.
Yes, please do drop a like or comment on this video, as it can really help us promote ourselves on all platforms and build up further from what we've already done. You may have seen on our social media, we put up our Spotify Wrapped for the year. And we just thank you for your support once again.
Yeah, algorithms are really weird at the minute. So
yeah,
I know it seems a small...
I don't think anyone really understands them.
No, I know it feels a small thing, but honestly, a like, a share, a comment, just it seems to really boost the show and the algorithms that go out there. And there aren't many touring car podcasts or shows out there, sure, there's a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of podcasts out there, and it really helps if we can keep the pod growing through fairly simple acts like a like, a share, a comment, that kind of stuff.
Crucially though, we have two more awards to give out.
We do,
and they're the big ones.
They're the ones everybody wants to win, aren't they?
Yes, so we have the final two trophies to end the season. Firstly, for the winner of the predictions throughout the season, so as you know we make predictions before every race weekend, looking at race winners, who's going to take pole position, some general predictions as well. And there was a key turning point this season, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. You had a really good weekend, or I think you got sort of ridiculous, like 7 out of 9.
Yeah.
Something daft like that. And despite a really strong end to the season, and I had a really strong end to the season, I didn't have enough to topple you.
You didn't, which means
I relinquishing.
For the first time?
Yeah, I'm relinquishing what I've won this 3 years running.
Yep.
I'm slightly sad to be relinquishing the award to you, I have to say. But I can't argue it. You got lucky on that one round because I was more consistent, but there we go. It is what it is. There's no sour grapes here.
And I've got to have more points at the end of the season. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm carrying my favour across to next year. I don't care what you say.
Okay,
we'll see. But we'll congratulations. See.
Thank you.
There is the award.
Lovely. Right then, and the second award.
Yes.
So we always try and make pre-season predictions in our envelopes, which you will have seen us tuck away before the start of the season.
It's kept safely in your glove box.
Safely in my glove box, yes.
For the whole season. I think these were done in April, I think, from memory, when we just finished the media day stuff.
Yep. So each driver's position in the final table is taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And also the winners of each championship. So we've got the drivers, we've got constructors, manufacturers, teams, independents, Jack Sears. The only one we don't do is the Wingfoot, because no one... You don't like the Wingfoot Award.
It's pointless.
It's not a foam trophy anymore.
No, it's a bit nicer, but yeah. I mean, all awards are pointless to a degree, aren't they?
yes.
This whole show's been pointless to a degree.
But... We are awarding 3 points for each correct championship position.
Yeah.
1 point if you're one either side. And then regarding the title winners, you can get 5 points for each title winner. So...
Here is my envelope.
Shall we exchange and find out?
Yeah, shall we do the simple stuff first, which is the overall winner?
Championship winners, yes, definitely.
Let's do the simple stuff first. Okie dokie.
I don't like this bit.
I don't know, because it's quite arbitrary, but if I've done well, I'll love this bit.
Overall winner,
you've gone for Sutton, which is obviously incorrect.
As have you.
Yes. So
which was incorrect. It's not a good start.
No. Manufacturers, you've gone for Ford, which is incorrect. It was BMW.
Yes, you've gone for Napa Ford as well. It was BMW. Indy driver.
You've gone for Aaron Taylor Smith, which is 5 points.
As have you.
Indy team.
It's looking very similar. PMR,
so another 5 points.
Yes.
In. The teams...
You went for Napa.
As did you.
And we were right.
Points there.
And then Jack Sears.
You went for Osborne.
And you went for Pearson, of which we were both wrong.
Correct. Now, that's incorrect. But we'll get there.
Right.
So, in first place in the championship was obviously Jake Hill.
Yes.
You went for Ash Sutton, so you get no points there, because he finished third. So that is no points.
Second in the championship was Ingram.
You've got Hill on yours.
Yes, which is one place out.
Which is 1 point.
And yours is bang on correct. Your first one.
Yep.
Third, you went obviously Hill, which is wrong.
Yep, you went for Ingram, which is 1 point.
Interestingly, we both went for Huff in fourth.
We did both go for Huff in fourth, which is
I'm quite surprised by that.
Yeah, we kind of...
Considering your speculation at the start of the season, you were unsure, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
So I'm quite surprised by that.
But, fifth, you went for Cook, which is 1 point because he finished in his usual sixth spot.
Yes, you went for Turkington. See, he finished fourth overall. In sixth, you had Camish.
You had Turkington.
Who finished fifth, who I was just a bit out on.
So you get a point for that one then.
No, Turkington finished fourth, mate.
Oh, yeah, you don't get a point for that one then.
You had Cook in seventh. He finished sixth, so you get an extra point for that one.
Yep.
You had Morgan in eighth. Sorry. Yes, Morgan in eighth. Bang on, 3 points.
Yeah, you've marked... Oh, I see what you've done. You've marked the position. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm marking the position. What I've done is I've marked... Yeah, okay.
Good.
I see what I'm doing now. I'm confusing myself.
You've got Watson finishing in ninth, and that was Rob Huff, so that was completely out.
You had Morgan in ninth, so that would have been a point for you, because obviously...
Yep. You had Chilton in tenth, which was bang on.
Yeah, you had Watson, which was...
I had Chilton down in a lowly position.
Yeah.
He had a good start to the season. He was really good in qualifying, wasn't he? And then you had Rowbottom in 11th, which was, again, bang on.
Yeah, you and Aaron Taylor Smith, which, to be fair, I understand entirely why you went there, and I went a space lower. So
yeah,
I
you went for 12th. He really was the surprise of the season. 13th was Moffitt, which you got bang on.
Yeah, you went for double. You're one place out of Moffitt.
Yep. 14th, you went for Pearson, who was lowly, obviously didn't complete the final three rounds of the season.
On that one. And for say, you went for, was that 14th, was it?
14th,
yeah. You went for Moffitt, yeah.
Yep. 15th was Osborne, which was bang on.
Bang on for both of us. Yep.
You had Smiley in 16th.
You had Pearson in 16th. And the actual 16th was Pearson.
Was Pearson, yep.
Yep. You had Smiley in 17th, which is bang on.
Yeah, you had Sumpton, so one place off.
Yep. You then had Sumpton, Halstead and De Leon. I'm really interested that we had both at De Leon bottom. I think that just goes to show how little we expected following the
fact
test.
That it was a one-car team.
Yep.
The team personnel looked really scarce.
Yep.
And I just thought, yeah, okay, he's had half a season in the Cupra, but I'm really not expecting anything from this brand new outfit of the season.
Yep.
But yeah, he did well. I'm amazed you had Dobble down in 18th.
I just didn't fancy the car. I didn't fancy the car. I just thought I was wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
There's no denying that I was wrong.
Yep.
Dobble was okay last year. He was good last year, actually. Okay is a bit harsh, but I wasn't necessarily expecting with the downsizing of the team, sticking with the car,
yep.
New cars coming in, teams getting stronger, arguably the sound of the driver going up.
Mm-hmm.
No. Which means you had three spot-on answers. And
yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 not spot on, which is 16. No, I miscounted. It is 15. Sorry, you had three spot on.
I don't think it matters too, mate.
No, because
considering how many you had spot on,
six spot on. That's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty good.
It is.
I mean, it's all arbitrary, obviously. But you've left the trophy at home.
I did. I might have forgotten it.
Which means we have got a makeshift trophy, which you're going to hand to me because it is
built yourself. Did you?
Yes. Well, I anticipated me winning this. winning something. But
are you going to do a shoey out of this?
I mean, it's not much to shoe out of it, is there?
Well, no. It's about a shot's worth, but
we can get some whiskey. On it.
Yes. Yeah. So the pre-season predictions award goes to yourself. We have swapped trophies for the end of the season.
Which is nice, because it's like sports day. We've all got something. We all took part, and we've all got something to go home with. So thank you very much indeed. I'm pretty impressed I won that one, because last year I did terribly in it. I mean, you absolutely whooped me last. I mean, I was nowhere close. So
yeah, I'm going to have to up my game going forward. Now I've brought it forward in the... in the weekend predictions, I'm just going to have to sharpen that pencil again going into 2025. Obviously, we may well have some more cars on the grid, so there may be a few more points to play for. Yes,
all the points will be swirling around in a vortex, and we'll see what we can
if it ever arrives.
Well,
we'll see.
I think that pretty much sums up the awards show. We're not doing any paddock rumour or anything else here. This is our fun end of year, end of season, Christmassy, awardy thingy. Show. We'll have plenty more content on its way throughout January. We might get something else before Christmas. It's unlikely.
It depends on the news that comes out, basically. If something major happens, then we'll, of course, try and bring it to you as soon as possible. But doing day jobs makes it a little tricky at times.
It sure does. And also, it's Christmas, and we would like a little bit of a break, if you don't mind. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you can appreciate that. We hope that you've all enjoyed the podcast over this season, and we really appreciate the continued support and growth. This time of year can be difficult for some, and as advocates of mental health awareness, we would encourage anyone out there who is struggling to reach out. There are plenty of numbers, websites, clubs out there, like Andy's Man's Club, Samaritans, all who will be available and willing to listen and help, basically. And to everyone else out there, check in on people. It's a season of joy and merriment. And we both wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with plenty of celebration and festivity.
You've said festivity a lot today.
I have. I know. But word of the day.
But I agree, and I can only echo that message. There is a lot of people that will struggle during this period, and there's a lot of people out there that can help. So don't be afraid to reach out and get that help if you need it. And as you say, check in on mates, family, people that live on their own. Just, spread the Christmas cheer.
Yep. Until then, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will be back in 2025.
As ever, thanks for the support.